Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Mary Lou Holly, who's serving as our worship associate, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, and the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent, Tone Chimers. We light our chalice this morning in celebration of all the colors of people, the colors of flowers, the colors of springtime, the colors of music, the colors of light, the colors of life, the colors of the spirit in all its glory.
A special morning, color and spirituality. The day is filled with color and light, just perfect to explore, with spring slowly bursting out. A day exuding energy for our spiritual growth and celebration, welcoming us with open hearts and minds to let loose our imaginations and our curiosity together. To wonder and to wander. To start this journey, imagine that you are a 13-year-old Native American child who wants to see a deer. Now, this is kind of an elusive thing to get a very good purchase on. But what you do is you go to a wise old spiritual elder and you say, I want to see a deer. How do I see a deer? How to see a deer. Forget roadside crossings. Go nowhere with guns. Go elsewhere your own way, lonely and wanting. Or stay and be early, next to the deep woods. Inhabit old orchards. All clearings have promise. Sunrise is good, and fog before sun. Expect nothing always. Find your luck slowly. Wait out the windfall. take your good time to learn to read ferns. Make like a turtle, downhill slowly toward water. Instructed by heron, drink the pure silence. Be compassed by wind. If you quiver like aspen, trust your quick nature. Let your ear teach you which way to listen. You've come to assume protective color. Now, colors reform to new shapes in your eye. You've learned by now to wait without waiting. As if it were dusk, look into light falling. In deep relief, things even out. Be careless of nothing. See what you see. Come, let us explore color and worship together.
This morning, our time for all ages will be experiencing prayer in color. And Sybil Macbeth, who is the innovator of this, discovered this way of praying just by chance. She had recently learned that many of her friends were facing daunting illnesses and feeling helpless, exhausted by the words of her prayers for her friends. She found herself outside on her porch, alone and just doodling. And she randomly drew a shape, and then she put the name of one of her friends inside that shape. And then she added decorations and colors around the shape. And this action of drawing was a wordless offering of her friends into the care of what she calls God. And the page of drawings that she created became a visual reminder to pray. And now you might use Macbeth's prayer technique and find it helpful in your life if you want to pray but the words escape you. Or if sitting still and staying focused in prayer is a challenge. Or maybe your body wants to be part of the prayer. Or you just want to hang out with God or Spirit or whatever it is that you call it, but you don't know how. Perhaps you want a visual, concrete way to pray. Or you need a new way to pray. So we're going to try this morning. So I'd like everyone to quickly find that blank piece of paper that's been tucked into your order of service. And if you don't find that, there are two large white spaces on both your thread and the second page of the order of service that you can use for this. And then you need to find one or two or three crayons from the baskets that you'll find at the end of the pews. And you'll need to share and choose your colors quickly. You might think of this time as a time for learning, and then when you get home this afternoon, you can be more careful about the colors and the paper that you choose. You can also use the pens and pencils in the pew racks, too. And when you have your pen, your paper, and your crayons, just hold them in your hands and keep a sense of reverence while you do so. So first we're going to review the basics of doodling, but don't start drawing just yet. Let's see. There we go. Your doodles will need to be containers. They need to be closed doodles. So it could be a circle, a rectangle, a triangle, a heart, a blob, or any other closed shape of your choosing. And now one of the steps of praying in color will be to decorate your shape. And you might consider using some of these techniques for decoration. Dots or squiggles or lines, whatever you feel like in the moment. There's no right or wrong way to do this. And now let's think about where we will be sending our prayers. Some may use the word God to describe who or what or where their prayers are being directed. And there are some other words that you might use instead of the word God. You might choose spirit, everything, wonder, power, creation, love, peace,
goodness, maybe even a question mark, or whatever else is grounding or unifying for you. Use whatever you like, whatever feels right to you. And so now we're ready to begin. Let's enter into a time of quiet. Take a few deep breaths in and out, in and out. We start our prayer by drawing a shape with crayon or pencil or pen on your piece of paper. And in that shape, write your God name, the word you use for God or Spirit. And now for a few moments, ask God or your God to be part of this time with you as you decorate around the name of God. So now you decorate. And it's best to use crayons for this step so that you will be using color. And as you decorate, invite your God into this process. You can think in words. Words are not necessary, though. And as you finish this step, take another deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out, and feel thankful for having this experience to pray in color. And now think of someone who you'd like to pray for. It might be someone who needs some help right now. It might be someone who is experiencing great change. It might be someone who's close to you, or it may be someone you only know about but don't really know personally. And it might even be you. So draw another shape and then put the name of that person in the shape. And then decorate that shape with color. And as you do, again ask God, or whatever you may call God, to be part of this time. And you too should hold this person close to your heart and mind as you decorate the shape. And then just sit with your prayer for a moment. Just sit and look at it. And now we'll take another deep breath together, breathing in, breathing out. And now let us say together, Amen, Amen. So what did you notice during this prayer experience? Would anyone like to share what they noticed?
I noticed that what I drew reflected what I had been thinking about. Sharing with the congregation today, which was sending light and love to Mother Earth and thanking her for all the gifts that we have received in color, the gifts that we have received from our heart, and the beauty of nature and the trees, the lessons that we get from the trees, the flowers, the stones, and everything.
Thank you.
That she offers.
Thank you. Anyone else?
It brought me to a real childlike place, and I was thinking about how even the worst scribbles get put on the refrigerator with great love. So I was imagining God putting my picture up on his refrigerator.
Ah. Anyone else would like to share, Marianne?
A deep sense of calm and community.
Calm and community. Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this method, and I'm planning to add this to my life for a while to see how it works for me, and I invite you to do the same.
Mother's Day can be complicated. I think of people who have lost their mothers and meet this day with grief. I think of people who were hurt by their mothers and meet this day with pain. I think of people who long for mothers, but to be mothers, but who have not been able to welcome children into their lives. And mothers who have lost their children to death, to distance, deportation, detention. I think of mothers in jail and children in jail. I think of mothers and children in hospital rooms hoping and praying for healing. And mothers waiting with hearts in their throats, hoping and praying for their children to return, like the mothers of all those missing girls. I think of stepmothers working to create family, and foster mothers expanding family, and the women and men who give the mothering that first mothers sometimes cannot give. Mother's Day can be complicated. So let us hold in our hearts all those who meet this day with discomfort, uncertainty, anger, grief, sorrow, and shame. And let us also hold in our hearts all those who meet this day with gratitude, with appreciation, and tremendous respect for their mamas, and for all of those who have given them the fierce and tender gift of mothering. Mothering is life-shaping, and we're so grateful for all of the mothers who have been able to shape lives of love with their mothering, for all of the people who have helped shape lives of love with their parenting. I invited you to send me a photo of your mother, or someone who has been a mother figure for you, someone who has parented you well. And many of you did. After I share all the photos, there will be room for those of you who did not have an opportunity to send one to call out a name that's on your heart today. We give thanks for the fierce and tender gift of mothering in our lives, and give thanks for all of the people who have given us that love. And finally, as we enter into a time of shared silence, we honor the mother of us all, every single person on this planet, a child of the earth. And I invite you to join with me now in the spirit of prayer. Rumi said, "Let the beauty you love be what you do." There are 100 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Spirit of life and of love, we gather this morning praying to open our hearts to beauty. Not just the beauty of the greening spring landscape, yes, that beauty. And not just the beauty of the people in our lives. Yes, that beauty too. But also the beauty we can create. The beauty we can create with our hands, the beauty that we can create with our hearts, the beauty we shape with our words, the beauty we create with one another by building up communities in which every person is valued, in which every person is witnessed, in which there is room for everyone at the table. Communities of peace and justice. Let the beauty we love be what we do. Let us commit ourselves again today to the creation of abundant beauty. Amen, and blessed be.
For just a few moments, let's explore together color. What is color? A word that we use every day that's part of our everyday lives. What is your experience of color? Let's look a little bit at the complexity from the different perspectives that we bring and that color is a part of our lives. So what is it? What is color to you? Light. Love.
Vibrancy.
Emotion.
Memory.
Humor.
Humor.
Beauty.
Individuality.
Individuality.
Power.
Power.
Chemistry.
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 Having many tubes of paint.
Many tubes of paint.
Clothing.
Can color be all of these things? Go ahead. Who had?
Warmth.
Warmth.
Expression.
Expression.
Mood.
Mood.
Being alive.
Happiness.
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 Representation.
Representation. Think just for an instant of a world without color. And think of times in your life that might have been without color. And as we explore today what color is and what it is as part of our spirituality. And so I leave you with a question. What does color have to do with spirituality?
2 weeks ago when I wasn't here, I was at All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is the largest bricks and mortar Unitarian Universalist congregation in the country with over 2,000 members. I went there as part of a preaching and worship continuing education program that I'm part of through the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association called Beyond the Call. We went there in part to attend their worship services and meet with their worship and music staff, very large worship and music staff, to see what we could learn from them. And I got the idea for this Mother's Day slideshow from All Souls. I got a lot of other ideas while I was there, too. One of the deans of the program is a Unitarian Universalist minister named the Reverend Abhi Janamanchi. And I knew that I wanted to talk to you about Holi today, and Abhi grew up Hindu. So I asked him if he could point me to any good references for me to learn more. And instead, he said, I can tell you a story. So here's the story. Long, long, long ago, there was a demon king named Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was an arrogant and proud man, and he wanted all the world to worship him. And so he decreed it would be so. And he was a violent and forceful enough ruler that everybody obeyed, everybody save his own son, Prahlad. Prahlad had received direct communication from Lord Vishnu that Lord Vishnu was Lord of all and should be worshipped. And so Prahlad told his father that his devotion was to Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu was furious, and he told his men to destroy his son. But Lord Vishnu had given Prahlad a kind of superpower, a kind of blessing, and he couldn't be destroyed. So no matter what they tried, and they tried many, many things, he could not be destroyed. This infuriated Hiranyakashipu. He was enraged. And so he consulted his sister, Holika, who was just as arrogant, proud, and vengeful as he. And they devised a plan. See, Holika had also received a superpower from the gods. She could enter into flame and not be consumed. And so they decided that she would hold Prahlad on her lap and enter into the flame, and finally, in this way, he would be killed. So they lit a large bonfire in the courtyard, And Holaka picked up Prahlad and entered into the fire. But in that moment, Lord Vishnu reversed the superpower, and it became Prahlad's, and Holaka was consumed in the flame, and Prahlad emerged unscathed. A testament to all of Lord Vishnu's powers. And so now, at Holi, the people light bonfires the night before, huge bonfires in the center of the town, as a testament to the victory of virtue over evil. And when the fire dies down, they take the ashes and smear them on their forehead to rededicate themselves to the path of virtue. So that's where Holi comes from, depending on who you ask. Because India is an enormous country, and Hinduism is an ancient tradition with lots and lots and lots of stories. So here's another story about how Holi came to be. This one is about Lord Krishna and his consort, Radha. One day, Lord Krishna was complaining to his mother that Radha was so much fairer than him. Her complexion was so much fairer. And he didn't think it was fair. He thought that Radha should look like him. And so his mother playfully suggested, well, why don't you color her face to make her look like you? Lord Krishna decided, with his mischievous nature, that this would be, in fact, a good idea. So he painted Radha's face, and she retaliated in turn, painting him back. And hence, the festival of painting one another with colors emerged. Holi is a celebration of love through color. That's another story. There are many more, depending upon who you ask in the region of India. Holi, everyone agrees though, is a springtime festival. It's celebrated usually in the middle of March, just when India is coming into bloom. It's a festival of color, a festival of light, a festival of great joy and delight for everyone who celebrates. So just in case you've never seen pictures of Holi, I have a couple for you so you can get an idea. This is just a couple here. This is a vendor stall on a street in India with big pots of color that people can purchase for their Holi celebration. And truly, this is a day of great delight, not only for children, but for everybody. Abhi told me that during the reign of England over India, there was a kind of movement to sort of back Hinduism out of the celebration of Holi and make it a cultural festival so that Muslims and Christians could also participate. And that had a certain measure of success. Everybody participates in Holi culturally, even if they don't keep the religious traditions that underlie the holiday. And so it's a day off. Everybody looks forward to it. They buy their colors, powdered colors, and then on the day of Holi, it looks like this. People throwing their colors up into the air, anointing one another with colors on their foreheads, throwing water balloons filled with colored water. It is quite a festival. So I was looking for pictures of Holi to share with you, and I have just one more picture to show you. There's this run. It's called the Color Run. And it happened just yesterday in Cleveland. It has exploded around the globe in just recent last few years. It now takes place in over 30 countries, this race. I think they had over 110 races around the world last year. And they bill it as the happiest 5K on the planet. And it involves a celebration of color. So here's a picture of a color run. Does that look familiar? You can turn the lights back on, thank you. I can't help but feel that the color run appropriated a little bit of the Holy Spirit. I offer this glimpse into Holi today for the window that it can give us into our own spiritual lives. So, Mary Lou asked the question, what does color have to do with spirituality? Do you have any spiritual practices that center on color, on pleasure, on play, on delight? As I consider this in my own life, I can't think of any spiritual practices I keep just for the sheer joy of it all. I do think about parenting as a spiritual practice, and there are moments of great joy and play and pleasure in parenting, but of course that's not always the focus. And gardening, too, can sometimes be a time of play and pleasure and color and delight for me. But then other times, gardening is just hot and sweaty and tiring. I recognize that, looking through the lens of holy, I am linking a colorful spirituality with a spirituality that is light and bright. That makes sense to me because color is really all about light. In lifting up light today, I'm not suggesting, though, that dark is less valuable. I believe that learning to trust the dark is an important spiritual lesson. The popular preacher Barbara Brown Taylor has written a whole book about that called In Praise of Darkness. In her book, she critiques theologies which identify God only with light. She says that such an approach tucks all the sinister stuff into the dark parts. She writes, identifying God with the sunny part leaves you to deal with the rest on your own time. It implies negative things about dark-skinned people and sight-impaired people that are not true. Worst of all, she continues, it offers people of faith a giant closet in which they can shove everything that threatens or frightens them without thinking too much about those things. I agree with her, and I think that we need rituals and practices that help us dive into the dark. Because my own spiritual orientation is tied to this place that we live, and I have always lived in places like this that have four seasons and times of dark and times of light, I'm oriented to that natural cycle that I experience. And I find that I'm drawn to dive into the dark near the winter time, near the winter solstice. I always take time to sit in the dark. And on Christmas Eve here in our sanctuary, I invite you to embrace the sacred dark before we pass our little lights around the sanctuary. That particular ritual of lighting candles in the dark of the year illuminates another aspect of light and dark spirituality. They're not strictly opposites, not starkly separate. In the darkest time of the year, a little light can be a symbol of hope. And in the lightest, brightest time of the year, a little dark can offer much-needed refuge and rest. Balance is the key in our spiritual lives. So here we are in this place, moving into a time of light and bright. After so much cold and dark winter, balance pulls us to soak up the sun, to notice the greening of our lives, to notice the colors unfolding on our landscape. Psychologists who study the impact of color upon sighted people without any color blindness tell us that colors have a real impact upon our emotions. What exactly that impact, though, is a bit hard to measure, and it's a matter of debate, because research concludes that though the experience of color affects us, it affects us differently. It affects us based on our own preferences, our own personality, our own experience, and also based on our culture. In the United States, mourning is associated with black. In China, mourning is associated with white. So here's my question for you. How has this culture shaped your experience of color? How does your spirit get touched by color? And what do you need right now? What colors do you need in your life? Are you in need of a meditative walk in the greening forest? Or does your spirit need the opening of blue skies, deepening as the day fades into black? Do you need time to be quiet and listen and watch for birds in the early morning? Or does your spirit need to gather on a warm spring evening here in this church to color the space with sound? Do you need the balm of a green canoe flowing in blue water? Or does your spirit need the red heat of a good long run? To find and keep our balance, we have to take time to check in with our spirits. So the question for you to take with you today is, what does your spirit need now? I encourage you to take some time to check in with yourself. Let the colors and sounds, the fragrance and feel of springtime be your guide and your inspiration. Then, when you know what your spirit needs, give yourself that gift. It will be a blessing. Amen.
And I were the same old, the colors would turn gray. Ooh, where would the brightness of day go without the rainbow? So with opening eyes we're seeing, with an open mind we're believing, we are many colors beating one rhythm. Takes red, black, white, yellow, and brown, people to turn the world around, and every other color of skin that's in between. It takes seeing beyond my skin to what's inside of me, to the real me, for the mystery to be found. And inside every person there is a heart that's beating a rhythm. It follows an ancient musical pattern. Everything living is carrying with. In every shade of life there is a heart inside that beats the same color. If you and I were the same, our colors would turn gray. Where would the brightness of day go without the rainbow?
For our closing words today, we have a poem for you. And I will read the poem through, and then you'll find in your program at the bottom a stanza that we will all recite together. Blessing. On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the gray window and the ghost of loss gets to you, may a flock of colors, indigo, red, green, and azure blue, come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. When the canvas frays in the crack of thought and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow moonlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of the earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the oceans be yours. May the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mind your life.
I send you with these words from Isaiah, for you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all of the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. May it be so.